Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hello, everybody. It's Kelsey from the future. We ended up talking for a really long time about this episode, so we did decide to split it into two parts, just like we did last week, so you have 2 1-hour episodes, so kind of easier to handle and hopefully not lose your place in on commutes or whenever it is you're listening. So if this is the episode that is pulling up first for you, go ahead and take a pause, go back and listen to part one, because otherwise this probably won't make much sense. So...
And my name is Carmen, and it's a beautiful day for a podcast.
Carmen is also here.
I'm here. Hello.
So, from the future. If you found this one first, just click back one episode. Make sure you listen to part one first, and then come back to this one, and it'll all just make more sense. For some reason, we didn't think we were going to talk about this for 2 hours, which doesn't make any logical sense, because I have so much to say about how much I hate Derek, so...
Yeah, it was fun. It was great. This is a wonderful episode. Just go back and
make sure you're listening in the right order.
Yeah. Also, just like be on the lookout, because I think this may be a recurring theme that we have to do, because we're talking a lot more lately. So anyways, enjoy the episode. Thanks to all of our favorite people. And we are back. Thank you. Thank you for those kind words, those beautiful words. Whatever they said to go buy it. Do it. Capitalism.
Woohoo! We love it so much.
Love it so much. Did you see also North Korea just was like, oh, we love everything Russia's doing right now.
Here's a missile. Ballistic missile whilst we're meeting with Putin.
Yeah, it's the divine mission to secure Ukraine into your borders.
Did we talk about the guy who was like in the military and he was going to get in trouble, and he was like on a tour in South Korea, and they were like at the border of North and South Korea, and he literally went ha 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 and ran across the border into North Korea and has been in North Korean captivity ever since then.
No.
This was like a couple months ago, but I was like, this person needs some assistance. They're not going to get it now.
Yeah. Ha, I'm North Korean now.
He literally said, ha, 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 and ran across the border.
Oh, boy. sheesh. Goodness gracious.
Some people, man.
I can't.
I don't know. I don't know what to say about it.
I am not well enough versed on the geopolitical climate in the Asian region of this world to really have any comments. So I will just say, what a story.
Yeah.
I'll circle back. We'll take this one offline.
Let's take a small break and go over to everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Ha ha! Living in Shondaland! Ha ha!
That was a good one. I like that.
It's called thematic.
Circling back. Okay, so there are three people.
All right, what's the breakdown?
We got one male and two females.
I feel like in part of the theming, I should have said, what is the 21st century breakdown? Green Day, great song. One male, two females.
Mm-hmm.
The male is the junior varsity Derek Shepherd.
No.
Damn it.
Shadow Shepherd.
All right, I'm done. That's it. Well, let me take a guess on the girls. Let me see if I can redeem this here.
Okay.
The girls are Beth.
No.
Okay.
So it is it's Seizure Patrol, or the boy and the girl.
Oh man. Okay. All right. And then is it one of the tumor girls?
One of the siblings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the hot one?
No, it's the older one.
The older sister. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So Seizure Patrol gets into Shondaland. That's, man, Seizure Patrol is now canon in Shondaland.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Wendy Hoops or Hopes. I'm not sure. Cause it's H-O-O-P-E-S.
Hoopes.
Hoopies. Played Trisha Shelley.
I gotta go take a Hoopies. Right
which
now.
Is the oldest sibling in the tummy problems family. And she was in one episode of Private Practice. BK Cannon is the girl band geek in Seizure Patrol. They did not have names. They were literally boy and girl band geek. And then she was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. And then Marcus McGee is the boy band geek, and he was in one episode of Scandal. So we have all three represented.
Imagine your last name is McGee.
I use that term I use that as a nickname all the time.
Right. That's
like I say, I'm like, oh, Benny McGee or like Scarlet right. McGee and like Smiley McGee. Like I just say that as a name. That's everyone's name as far as I'm concerned.
Remember in Anchorman when they say Tits McGee?
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine having your last name being McGee. Imagine your first name being Tits, though. Like, what if that was...
Yeah, I don't love that.
So
we had some weird ones at the boutique, though, I'll tell you what. We did have a Princess Poopy from, I want to say, from Brazil. And her brother was Nacho.
Great name, though.
I also had a princess named Princess.
Princess, yes.
Yes. And
Princess McGee.
Nothing will beat Seven.
Yeah.
Nothing beats Princess Seven, spelled VII.
Yeah.
Top of the line.
Did you have...
Top of the line.
Was I hearing the story about you guys, or did you guys actually have Princess Noel?
No, yeah. We did have that. The mom was...
M-N-O-P?
J-K-M-N-O-P.
J-K-M-N-O-P.
We also had A-B-C-D, Absidy.
That's a good name, though, actually.
It's fine.
The spelling may not be great, but I actually like the name
Absidy. We have had to name humans, and it's like a big thing, because like that's their name forever.
What about Elon's kid, Squadron X-Wing Starfighter Zero?
When a fucking federal employee has to tell you that you can't name your child that because you've done such a poor job, and I'm like, you're bad at this.
It's hard. It's not that hard.
Yeah. Also, like, it's just, as someone whose name is spelled wrong, don't spell your child's name wrong to be different. It's annoying to them. I promise they are annoyed by it. My parents did not do it on purpose. They were like, this is probably how this is spelled. They just did no research. And they were like, that's probably how you spell this. But people who are like, I'm going to spell it this way to make it different. I'm like, your kid hates you. They don't like you for a chunk of your life because specifically of this choice. They're going to be annoyed.
Yeah.
Like if you are like, I'm going to name my kid Bob and I'm going to spell it P-A-U-L, like that, your kid's going to hate you.
No, that's when my name's Bob, but my friends call me Paul for short.
Like, because that's what your parents named you. Like, I don't understand. Yeah. Or if you're the parent and you're going to name the kid something like that's spelled different or like harder to pronounce, you can't be mad every time someone doesn't know how to spell it or pronounce it. Like, you have to adjust your expectations to the world. Like, my expectation is that my name is never spelled right, and I don't care. Like, I have not cared for a long time because most of the people spelling it wrong, I'm never going to interact with again. So it doesn't matter.
Right.
Also, my name is still my name, even if someone spells it wrong.
Yeah.
Carmen gets very mad when people spell his name wrong. Because of the time they move letters around and make it a completely different name.
Yeah. It's not like if they spell it Carmen with an I, like C-A-R-M-I-N or Carmon or Carman. The Carman gets me the least because I'm like, yeah, I'm the Carman, you know? But when people just misspell the name and it becomes Cameron, I'm like, that's a new person.
Yeah, it's a different name.
There is a person who I work with who has a unique name. I'm not going to share the name just for privacy purposes, but people can go online and fill out surveys and like name people. And when I tell you that it's become, if there was a meme for this person, every week there's a new spelling for this person's name. And sometimes it's they just butcher the names. I'll have to tell you this offline for privacy purposes, but there's a certain point where how absurd, like, is the rational part of your brain is no longer learning. You're just making up something that actually isn't even a real name. It's not, you've turned a real person's name into something that I don't know what it is anymore.
Yeah.
So you've Cronenberged their name. So anyways.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, now that we've done that.
Living in Shondaland.
Yes. So we're back at it. So what should we talk about now? Should we talk about,
do you want to talk about the siblings?
Yeah, we'll talk about the siblings and also Miranda and Richard
and Derek.
Adele, the return of Adele.
Queen Adele.
Truly. So Scarlett watches Doc McStuffins. Like, she's obsessed with Doc McStuffins. Like, she loves it so much. And I also have always loved Doc McStuffins. Like, from when I worked at Disney and, like, especially was working with kids, I had to know a lot about the Disney Junior lore. And I've always loved Doc McStuffins. So I'm very excited that Scarlett loves Doc McStuffins. There is a character on Doc McStuffins voiced by the woman who plays Adele. And I
shut up.
It. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a nurse. She's a hippo who is a nurse. She's a stuffed hippo named Hallie, and she is Doc McStuffins' nurse. And Scarlett says she is her favorite character. And I'm like, yes, queen. Yeah,
Scarlett,
queen.
You don't even know why I'm happy, yeah. But I am.
Yeah, I love it. So I just wanted to share that now that Adele has made her triumphant return. So we really have not seen her in a long time.
Too long, obvious, honestly.
Oh, also, we didn't even talk about the fact that we had a recap in this episode. The first recap in like half a season.
It was very Hunt heavy. And
yeah,
I feel like the only thing we got with Hunt was like,
he pushed Christine over
in the beginning. It was like at the beginning.
But then he feels really bad about it.
Yeah. But it felt like the recap was like, hey, remember Hunt, Dr. Hunt, you're about to get a lot of him. And it was like one flash and that was it. I mean, we did get quite a bit in the Alex storyline, but it wasn't
and
dramatic.
Derek. Quite a bit about Derek.
Yeah, quite a bit about Derek.
All right. Okay. So, Christina, Meredith, and Bailey have three siblings who have a gene that means they're more likely to develop colon cancer. Is it colon cancer?
I thought it was stomach cancer.
Well, the colon and the stomach are the same thing.
I beg to differ. The colon and the stomach are not the same thing.
No, the colon and the bowel are the same thing.
Okay. But not the stomach. The colon is a part of the bowel.
The colon is the bowel.
I don't have my brain stop working right now. I can't
okay.
even... Okay. No, it's not. It's separate. The colon is something separate.
Okay, but your colon is where your poop comes from, and your bowel is where your poop comes from.
Well, the colon is where the poop is stored. The bowel is where the nutrients are removed from the food, creating poop.
The bowel is part of the digestive system made up of the small bowel and the large bowel. The large bowel is the colon.
Okay, yes. There. I also did that same Google search just now. Okay. But you said the stomach and the colon were the same.
No,
that's
what
made...
then I retracted that.
Oh, but did you say retract or redact? Because it sounds like you just tried to pawn off the first.
No, I said no.
No.
It's the intestine.
It's okay.
All right. Well, no spoilies, and this podcast is over because of how much I hate Carmen.
It would have been funny if you would have like put in a spoiler, but like a fake spoiler. Like
the small bowel is longer than the large bowel.
Oh, yeah. The small intestine is like 40 feet and the large intestine is like 7 feet.
I feel like those numbers could not be less correct.
Hold on. Length of small intestine.
Do you still poop without a colon?
22 feet. 22 feet is a small intestine.
You said 40.
Okay, so I was close.
You weren't.
The large intestine is only 5 feet.
You were closer with that one. You were not close with the small.
I was close. The proportions
you said 40.
Were accurate. And then I said like 8. That's
no,
that's
you
the
didn't.
Same. What did I
you
say?
Just, see, you guys remember how earlier I said
no.
Just
I said
say shit.
I said the small was I.
You
did
said the
say
small
the
was
small,
7, and you said you said the small was 40, and the large was 7. I said you were close
okay.
with the large.
I was close.
You were
yeah,
not
sorry.
Close with the small.
You're right. You're right. I got you. We're on the same page now. We're saying the same things now.
Okay, so the colon is the same as the large bowel or large intestine.
There we go. Not to be confused with the colon.
Now I'm just looking at this like diagram of the anatomy, and I cannot imagine how many of these things I would say wrong if I tried to pronounce them all, so I'm just not going to try. Pancreas. I can say that one right. Okay,
yes.
So they stomach or whatever it may be, they have a gene that means they have a 75% chance of having this cancer, which is those are also bad odds. Like you have
terrible
a 3 out of 4
odds.
Chance
yeah.
of having it. And then the brother's like, that's not so bad. I'm like, I don't know if you know what math is, because it is so bad.
Yeah, those are like you got a 75% chance of winning. You're going to Vegas to
yeah.
win money. Like yeah. just and I get what he's saying. Like,
yeah,
the way that they were painting this picture is that like the sister is kind of this controlling person. But then the middle sister, it sounds like she's the middle kid who is she's very beautiful.
She is very, very pretty.
No
okay,
idea
hold
who
on.
She is.
So Trisha, 31, along with her yeah. two siblings, are positive for CDH1 gene, which means that each of them has a 3 in 4 chance of developing hereditary diffuse gastric cancer. They have already lost several members of their family to this specific cancer. So when they all tested positive for the gene, they were like, we'll just get I don't know what they're removing, though.
They're removing their stomachs.
Because it says gastrectomies. Anal leakage. Did you laugh a lot at anal leakage?
Oh, absolutely. I did. And I felt bad every time. But I still laughed.
So gastrectomy.
Yeah, it's removing their stomach.
Is what they're having done.
Which also at one point, Meg, who is the beautiful one, was like, she's telling her sister, she's like, oh, yeah, I don't know if I want it. I didn't think it would be that big of a deal. You're removing your stomach. Like, what?
Well, anal leakage, I feel like, is something you wouldn't immediately think of being a result of that.
No, but like I'm not sitting here thinking that. Yeah, no, I get that. I'm not sitting yeah. here thinking that I would have been thinking through the side effects, but I wouldn't be sitting there going, oh yeah, like the stomach, no
also,
big
also no
deal.
Sugar, no thank you,
no
absolutely
I'm done.
Not
this coffee's 90% sugar.
Yeah, I also like I just like keep candy in my house so I can eat it.
Brownies? No more brownies.
I have a giant bag of M&Ms in my fridge that I just mm-hmm. eat. I see both sides. I see the hesitation, but I also see the side that Trish is on because I have a lot of anxiety. So I definitely feel like if you have all those family members and you've watched them all pass away from this like very kind of sounds long and drawn out situation. And then you find out you have this gene. I do understand like the being proactive part of it. And then they find a tumor when they're in there, when they're doing her surgery. Yeah.
The thing that I've always had a little bit of a hard time with medical shows is when you know you have that gene, I guess you wouldn't have known. None of these people have kids. But it sounds like just this whole family, this lineage has been riddled with this disease.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are definitely people that they have genetic markers that when they make a baby, like they will pass along the same thing. We did genetic testing before we got pregnant to see if we were carriers for different things. And we were both, I'm a carrier for, oh my God, what's it called? It's something with the lungs. I'm blanking on it now, but you both to pass it on, you both have to be a carrier. And then there's a 25% chance that your kid will actually have it. But that was the only thing but I will say we did it through 23andMe. And when you opt to do genetic testing, like they'll tell you, they're like, once you have this information, you can't unhave it. So like, seriously think about if you want to know these results before you, this is not just like, this could be a life altering piece of information. So,
which is, I'm glad they do that. I have not done that. Jessica and I do want to do that someday.
Yeah, you definitely should. I mean, I think anybody should do it for their own peace of mind. And then especially if you're thinking about having children as well, just because like it can help you prepare for, you know, something that you might not really think is a possibility.
Yeah. Like the possibility that I'm not actually Italian. Like what kind of plot twist would that be, right?
Well, my thing is, and I've like watched videos where they talk about it and they're like, the thing about heritage is the way that DNA breaks down. Yeah. You probably like, if you did a DNA test, it's not going to come back that you're 100% Italian.
No, I never once thought I was.
And it might not even be like a larger percentage. Like it might be, I mean, my last name is Werner. That's obviously very German, but I don't have like, I have, and I do have like a German in my DNA, but there's more, like Scottish and Irish in my DNA than there is German. But heritage wise, like I know more about the German ancestry because that's just like what's more baked in and like what's important to my family. So like that's what they say. They're like heritage and culture wise, like it's not going to make you not Italian, but it might just not be what you expect. It's interesting. I mean, it's expensive, but they always have sales like around Black Friday and stuff. So if anyone's thinking about doing it, I definitely recommend it. Like, I think it's also just really cool to like, and it can break down like timeline wise when certain DNA entered into your family history. It's just really cool. So
yeah, it's expensive,
but
it.
If you have,
and we're not
money,
even
advert,
we're not even
it.
Sponsored by 23.
We're really not, but. And there's a bunch of them.
Not yet.
I really like 23andMe. It's just like super user friendly. And I know there's like conspiracy theories about them like keeping your DNA and like planting in a crime scene or selling it to the government. And like, that's so fucking dumb. Like anytime someone says that, I'm like, I am not important enough for the government to want my DNA. That's stupid. It's just dumb. Like you're trying so hard to find something to be afraid of. You can also opt for them to destroy your DNA after you do the test. So like, it's literally fine. Like I just can't. Anyways. So, yes, that's the genetic testing story. And then, so Meg and Mike is the brother. They're like hesitant. And then Trish does it and they find the tumor. And then Meg's like, you know what? It's kind of like a wake up call. She's like, fuck, like we are going to get this. Like there's no way that we don't. So she immediately goes into it. And then Mike's like, no, I'm not going to, cause I have a frat and I want to date girls and not have anal leakage.
And jelly beans. I like jelly beans.
That's honestly his best argument. If I'm being honest,
as long as they're the Starburst or the Skittle jelly
my
beans.
Thing is, I'm just like sugar in general. And I mean, it's obviously going to be a huge lifestyle change. It's not this, the surgery and then recovery. Like if you can't eat sugar for the rest of your life, especially here in the States, sugar's in everything. You can't even get bread without sugar in it. Okay.
Yeah.
So like it's a huge lifestyle change.
You're done. No more fruit ever.
Well, it might be added sugars. Like it might not be natural. I mean, I don't know. I truly don't know. But yeah, so he's still on the fence. And then, you know, at the end of it, Trisha's like, well, he's going to do it. Like, I don't care if he says he's not going to. Like, I'm going to make him do it. And I kind of am on the fence about this because obviously she has the trauma of watching like everyone in her life die.
Yeah. He even says that. He's like, you have that trauma. I don't.
Yeah. He's like, your fear is not my fear. And I'm like, maybe it should be a little bit. Just like mathematically speaking.
Right. The thing that I will say that I kind of steer away from her side at that point is at what cost, right? Like, does your desire to save your brother push him away and you lose your brother?
Yeah, that's my thought. That was my thought is, I wrote the quote down, like, you don't leave the people you love alone or something like that, which I see where she's coming from. When she's talking to Meredith, and obviously it's meant to mirror Meredith, like being like, Derek's fine, I can just leave him alone, like blah, 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 whatever. He wants to be alone, whatever.
Clearly, that's a man who wants to be left, doesn't want to be left alone.
Yeah, it's just whatever. I can't find the quote now, and I know I wrote it down. But yeah, I'm definitely like, I see both sides. Her fear is going to save his life. As someone who has a lot of fears that are probably often unnecessary, I don't love that notion because I'm like, I don't necessarily want to put my fears onto other people. If I want to act in a way that makes me feel better about it, that's different than me forcing other people to kind of conform to that. I don't know. It's,
yeah,
I see where she's coming from. I see where he's coming from. Again, though, he is 23. So he's dumb. I'm sorry. I just think a 23-year-old boy is probably dumb. Like, he might not be stupid, but he's dumb, which is fine. We all have that. Especially in like the teenage years. Again, the frontal cortex is not fully developed until you're 25. You're not even a whole person yet.
Don't even get us started on the occipital lobe. The occipital lobe.
Occipital, man. I'll tell you what.
Man.
That shit's wild. So I don't know what I think he'll decide. I unfortunately think he's going to have some kind of trauma to push him to do it. Or maybe he sees his sisters come out of this recovery and like it not being. So the thing about those consent forms is they have to legally put like the worst case scenario on there. That's like the whole point of them. So, obviously like the worst things are going to be on there. So it does seem scary, but that doesn't mean that that's going to happen. I don't know. What would you do?
That's hard. Selfishly, the no sugar thing, I don't think I can do.
It's hard. That's the part that like, just like having to shift the entire way, everything you eat.
Yeah. That would be the hardest.
Cause we are both big foodies.
Yeah. I would have a hard time with that. I think the part that I most align with him is I haven't seen someone suffer the way that my older sister has. Now, I have the burden of being the oldest child, so I do see where Trish is coming from.
Well, and Meg's argument of like, well, the reason that she's the one that decides everything is because all the other people who would decide things are dead. She's the only one old enough to like decide things.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and they say like this is such a fast cancer because they're in there like monthly checking them. Like she was in like a month ago and her stomach was clear and now they have a full tumor.
That's what blows my mind. It's very rapid.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that knowing that would have pushed me over the edge. I would have done it.
So like you can be as proactive as you want to be and it still like doesn't matter apparently, so
yeah yeah, I think ultimately I would do it. Life, yeah, even without sugar, is still life, I think, yeah, ultimately.
More than death.
Yeah.
Life is life more than death is. I'll follow you into the dark.
Yeah. That's so fucking, yeah, that's there's no win, right?
Yeah,
there's no
win. For sure.
Because also the thing that is scary too is you do it and then you get another form of cancer, right? Like, what are the risks that you still get a form of cancer? You live your whole life without sugar just to get cancer.
Or like, you live your whole
anyways.
Life wondering, would I have even actually gotten cancer? And there's literally no way to ever know what would have happened either way. So, yeah, I don't know. It's definitely one of those things where you're just kind of going to be questioning it, I think, forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, during that whole thing, Richard is being a huge piece of shit to Bailey because he's mad that she is applying for this Peds fellowship whilst simultaneously watching, you know, his hospital crumble. He's obviously still all been out of shape about being number 12. Derek is like, for some reason, his angel savior. And so he's big stressed that Derek isn't there. So he's taking that on top of them being mad about the Peds fellowship. He's like taking anger out about that on Bailey. He again yells at her in the OR in front of people, which, as I have said before, no need to yell at work. And I think it's appropriate that she approached him and she's like, I understand that you're upset with me, but you can't talk to me like that in my OR in front of my residents, because that like takes away from my authority. And she's correct.
Oh, so. Absolutely. I'm for sure on Bailey's side on this one. And I even wrote like she is in the right.
Yeah.
Weber's being a dick. Weber in this episode has taken away a lot of goodwill that I have as a fan of his, mostly because like he's being a child.
Yeah. A lot of this season is a bad look for him.
Like when he's in that surgery and they're going back and forth about the differing of opinions on like staples versus sutures.
Yeah, and it's like medical, like these are valid medical opinions that are like normal differences to have.
Yeah. And that's fine. At the end of the day, Weber is the one running that surgery. So, like, his opinion does outrank Bailey's. Just like if mm-hmm. she was running the surgery, her opinion would outrank one of the interns or anyone else if she was running the surgery. But when he goes, you don't get an opinion here. This is my hospital, and I want all you people to do what I say. Like, damn, bro, you are not having a good time right now.
Yeah.
Calm down.
He's not doing the most.
In fact, it's the least.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was bummed with him and how he was handling this episode. It makes sense that Bailey goes and gets Adele involved. The yeah. scene between them afterwards is good, and like I'm glad they have a little bit of a reconciliation. But it's also funny that Adele's like, Bailey, get that fucking smirk off your face because you just tattled on a grown ass man to his wife.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you both are.
I also love
stupid.
That.
So,
yeah, I love the whole scene with Adele coming in and she's. She says, like, get in the conference room, and she like tears Richard a new one. And then she's like, you know what, Bailey, you're not fucking better because you didn't fix it yourself. You just called me and tattled on him. And then the resolution between the two of them. I don't know. I just feel like Weber didn't do anything. He was very passive about it. Like, Bailey gave this whole speech and she's like, this is what I think you're doing. And, you know, I'm sorry. And then he's like, me too. But she shouldn't have to apologize because her career path now looks different than what he thought it was going to. But I guess she's really more apologizing for calling Adele, which is like valid, I guess.
I do see where Weber is coming from like a mentee-mentor relationship.
I see where his like anger and disappointment is coming from. It's his handling of it
yes.
that I don't like.
Yes. Correct. To be clear, I don't agree with how he's handling it.
Yeah.
But I do see, as someone who has mentored people and someone who has been a mentee of people, there's kind of like this
unspoken agreement.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to give you my opinion. And if you don't do what my opinion is, then you either need to explicitly tell me this up front or just listen to my opinion. And I'm not saying, not like, hold on. That's not how I want to fully articulate that. There's something to be said about once you start down a path, you reach a point of no return. And I feel like in Weber's eyes, they've reached that point of no return in their relationship and how he was grooming her to take over for him. Mm-hmm. That this blindsided him in a big way. It's understandable that he was hurt, but how he's reacting is not understandable.
Yeah.
Does that make more sense? I'm trying to like...
A little bit. I just like, I don't feel like if it's unspoken, then I don't feel like it's fair to have any weight put on it. Like if it's unspoken, then it's an expectation, not like a guarantee. And if, you know, if you enter into like a mentor mentee relationship and the mentee says, you know, I'm not 100% sure where my career path is going, this is kind of what I'm thinking, I don't think that the mentor gets the right to be like, well, if you don't know 100%, then you're just going to do what I say. Because I have more experience, so I'm going to say what you should do. And if you don't do it, then I'll be mad. So it's mainly just his reaction more than anything else that's the issue, truly, when it comes down to it. And then, I mean, I do like the point that she makes where she's like, would you be this mad if I wasn't going into peds? Like, would you be this mad if it was neuro? Like, is it because you think it's soft and you think that you're going soft because I'm being soft? And like, and I don't really feel like there's a lot of resolution because I feel like he just sits there in silence for a lot of that.
Yeah.
And that to me, I'm just like, well, like make me feel better about it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. It doesn't seem resolute. Yeah. And it also doesn't really feel like Weber is making the strides to be better in this episode. And because he's also, he's not just being a dick to Bailey, he's intentionally or unintentionally being very dismissive of
I think it's unintentional. I think other than Bailey, it's all feels more unintentional and more just like distracted and his head is not in the game because he's so like mad that he's not being listened to. Obviously, a lot of the Bailey stuff is also because Derek pushes back when he's like, get in here and like be a surgeon, and Derek doesn't listen to him, and he's like, I'm now going to assert my dominance in every possible outlet because like one person didn't listen to me, so I am going to force everybody to do exactly what I say and obey me, or like I'm going to crumble as a human being.
Yeah, all of my self-worth is based on if people listen to my authority.
Yeah, which my is authority. Like medium. Don't love it.
Yeah,
but not uncommon, unfortunately. So yeah, men.
The other, right? Yeah, honestly, the thing that I didn't like about this episode with Weber, in addition to that, was two things. So Mark is still hurt from the punches.
Like physically hurt, like physically wounded. Callie's like, you shouldn't operate.
Yeah. Can't even hold Lexi's hand. And he goes and does like two very intricate surgeries. And he comes out and he's like, well, Chief, I am your hero that you needed. And yeah. Weber's response is like, okay, so where's Derek?
Yeah. Like that's, where? It's so like, he's so wrapped up. This man cannot separate anything in his mind. Like he's just not being a good leader right now. Like this is what you want to like be searching for the reason your hospital is number 12. It's fucking because of you.
Look in the mirror.
Literally.
And then the other one was when he is like, hey, Meredith, I need to talk to you and interject myself into your personal life.
In a big way.
Derek's going to propose. So yeah. Do what you want with that. Wasn't even here. But get him back to the hospital. Like, that's a man who needs saving. Oh, my gosh. Why don't you just fucking show up, Weber? Go to his house. Go to the fucking Airstream.
Yeah. Yeah, some shit goes down. in this one? Well, I don't even. So with the Derek thing, I guess we can get into that.
Let's
we're
do
done
it.
With the siblings. So Derek is like hasn't been to the hospital in 3 days. He Jen's husband is suing him for wrongful death or malpractice, whatever it may be. And they have a deposition. So he goes to the deposition, and in the deposition, the lawyers are like, here's the people you've saved and here's the people you've killed. And this one is higher. So you're a murderer. And obviously we keep coming back around to that. He even references the serial killers in this episode. Like he says more than Dahmer, Bundy and
Manson.
Manson combined. Unfair comparison. But whatever. And so he's not in a good place as a human being because he is such an idiot.
He's also not in a good place like the show.
Yeah. He's in the bad place, which is where he's going because he's a bad person. So he's upset and he's and Weber's like, oh, good, you're here. Like, do these surgeries. He's like, no, I'm leaving. And Weber's like, I know you just lost a patient, but like, it's time to fucking move on. And he just like ignores him and just fucking leaves, which is I do feel like it's his right. You know, if he's not in a good mindset to be cutting into people's brains. Clearly, we've seen what happens when he's not in a good mindset to cut into people's brains. He just is like cuts out half of them. So.
Over half. What did we decide on? Like 75%? He was leaving the brain stem and the fucking occipital and parietal.
Yeah.
Occipital.
So it's Derek.
They really make him look deranged in this episode too.
They really do. It's like, really, when you have that much hair, it's kind of crazy what just rustling it up a little bit does to you. You did say he was going to be drunk this whole episode, and he wasn't drunk. But you did say he wasn't going to go to work, which he didn't. So you're like medium right.
He was drunk in the end. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I don't think he was drunk for the deposition. I think he was sober for that.
That's fair.
So he's upset and Meredith's like, you know, a lot of people come to you as a last resort anyways, because like they know you take impossible cases. Also, a lot of that is the clinical trial. And like what, 12 people from that died. So it does, if you are just glancing at it from that, it kind of looks like if you pulled 12, the number would maybe be the same or the living people would be higher. And I then wonder, I'm like, okay, are you also taking into account the number of people who are now being saved by what you've created from the clinical trial? I don't think so, but it doesn't matter. That's not the point. Derek is not like looking at the big picture, as Meredith says, and he's like, this is the big picture. So he leaves and everyone's like, Meredith, like, are you going to go do something? He's like, she's like, no, he's going to be fine. He just like needs some like alone time. And
your Meredith impression is just so good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
She loves to say people are fine. She loves to say she's fine. She loves to say Christina's fine. She loves to say Derek's fine. She loves to not have emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Even though she went to therapy.
They are all fucking lemons.
So my God, he's such a piece of shit.
I want to call out that I knew this episode was going to be starting off. It started off terrible for Derek when he's just sitting on the couch. Boxes of Chinese food everywhere, which are good. I love the Chinese food. But he's picking out the marshmallows and he's wasting the marshmallows from what looks like to be some sort of knockoff Lucky Charm situation.
Right.
And then Alex is even like, dude, he's picking out the best fucking part and wasting it. And then Derek slams the box in his chest as he walks away. Dick! So I knew things were going to go downhill from there.
Yeah. So he's going to the hospital for the deposition. It goes really poorly. he's like, I can't be a doctor anymore because I've killed people. I'm like, people, you have been unsuccessful in saving people, which is so different than killing people. Like, it's like you want to defend him and he doesn't fucking want to hear anyone's defense. He just wants to crawl into this specific mistake, curl up and die. And it's so frustrating to watch. Even as someone who doesn't like Derek, although I'll tell you, like, seriously, I feel a lot of this journey has been like, oh, I don't like Derek. Am I being like overdramatic about it? Like, why don't I like him? And there are some episodes where I'm like, well, clearly, like, he's bad at a lot of things relationship wise. And then I get to this episode and I'm like, this is the shit. Because when you know, I think when you're in a relationship with someone, it's easy to know the most hurtful things you can say to them or things you can say to push someone's buttons. But to say every single one of those things to someone's face and then
with a baseball bat, so intimidating. I thought he was going to hit her.
Expect forgiveness or like just expect like them to be like out, or I don't even know like what the expectation is at this point, because I mean, he wants her to go. He is saying he wants to be left alone. And like, yes, there are times when people do want to be left alone, but there are also times when you do also need the reassurance that other people aren't abandoning you or like thinking less of you because of a mistake that you've made. And I mean, he just says awful things to her. He
pull
says,
up the receipts. Pull up the receipts.
Yeah. You should understand better than anyone else. You wrote the book on quitting, on running, on hiding. You've written a lot of books. You're here now. You've wanted me out since the day I moved in. You're incapable of anything that resembles commitment. You lied to me. You said you were healthy and you were healed, but there's no fixing you. You're a lemon. Go home, Meredith. This is what you want. I'm giving you an out. I said leave. And then she says, I know there's a ring that you've told me. And he's like, you want the ring? Here's the ring. Takes it out, hits it with the bat. And then she still is like, I'm not leaving. We're in this together. And he says, go home. And that's when she leaves.
Good on you, Meredith, for not. I mean, I guess you're proving him wrong.
For them. She's fighting for them yes. The whole time. And he is fighting her. Like, he doesn't want anything to do with her. He's like, wants to be done with the relationship. Like, it's so fucked up.
He wants to be done with everything.
He literally wants to just wallow in this one case.
Yeah. I will say, I didn't realize, has Derek always been a lefty?
I don't know.
He's swinging the baseball bat left-handed. Maybe it's just for like the way the angle of the camera was. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we just need you to swing lefty, whether you are or not. Mm-hmm. But he's just like drunkenly swinging away this bat at the beer cans.
Yeah.
Saying all the aggressive shit.
Yeah.
I don't know how he comes out of it. I don't know how he comes out of this one. I have no predictions to be made for Derek. But at the end, he says the hurtful shit. He swings at the ring. The ring goes away. I will say, he had a sick bat flip at the end. It was really good. It was a good bat flip. Like, as someone who loves baseball, it was a good bat flip.
If he is going to hit that ring, that teensy ring, with the accuracy at which he hit it, it would not be that close to that trailer. It would be like gone, like in the woods. Like, it would not. The shot, the artsy shot, which this artsy shot was way less annoying than the paddle drop one, where they show the ring with like the trailer in the background. Like, it's too close. If he hit it with a baseball bat with that much fervor,
it's over the
cliff. That thing's gone. Like, it's out of there. It's in a tree. It's in a bird's nest.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, also I mentioned she gets to the trailer and says, you took all of your clothes out of the house. Like, he moved out of her house. He just unilaterally was like, I'm not in my best spot career-wise, so I'm just going to break up with you and burn every bridge that I've ever had. Which is like, this looks now to be a serial pattern, because when shit went down with Addison, he was like, I'm just going to leave. I'm just going to start a new life. He's doing the same thing. I can't handle this big life altering thing, so I'm just going to start a new life. I'm like, bro, go to therapy. I also, though, I will say I do agree the chief should not have said he has a ring he's planning to propose. Like, I don't feel like that's a good argument to get Meredith to do what you want.
Yeah, it's very manipulative, but it's selfish. It's not.
Yeah.
He's
not doing it to be like, this will help you. This will help save your relationship. That's not where that comment is coming from.
Yeah, it's, hey, you need to go save Derek so he can get back to my fucking hospital.
Yeah.
Not, you need to go save your relationship.
Yeah.
It was not framed that way at all. It's not, there wasn't a whole episode of Weber being a dick because he's mistreating Meredith. It's because Derek is mistreating Meredith. It's, I'm being a dick because my hospital, me. And it's, Meredith's the only one who's fighting for something bigger than just herself in that.
Yeah.
Scenario. So fucking Derek, am I right?
Yeah, truly, you really literally are right. Like, obviously everyone knows I'm not a fan of Derek, and like, this shit is so fucked up. And like, I know that everyone in this show like has moments where they're bad at relationships. But to me, this is the worst. Like, to me, this is worse than cheating, because it's like the intention behind it is just to hurt her and to get her to like leave you, like be out of your life completely. And I just like, to me, it's just worse than anything else relationship wise that we've seen.
Yeah, I agree. Oh man, I have no predictions on this one though, but it's a bad look. Bad look overall for Derek.
We'll say this. Originally you said that Derek was going to propose in the season 5 finale. Do you still think that is the timeline, or that he'll propose at all?
I do. I do still think that he proposes in the season 5 finale. I don't think that they're done. They're not broken up. Derek will come out of this. Dr. Cox came out of it. Derek can come out of it. But I will say that's probably not a fair assessment to say those things are related, because Dr. Cox is a better doctor than Derek is. Dr. Cox is the goat. So anyways, that's all I had for Derek specifically. I think there's a couple of other smaller things that I want to talk about real quick.
Yeah. We need to talk about Owen for sure.
Owen, yes, but also let's talk about Mark and Lexi real quick.
Yes.
I could have cried in that last scene when she's like...
That's the part that made me emo. And it like really caught me off guard.
Yeah.
When he says, you think you broke me, you're the one that put me back together. I was like, oh, I have moist eyeballs. It fucking came out of left field. Like, I did not expect to react that way. Like, it literally was just like, whoom. And I was like, oh my God. Cause they really aren't even together that much in this episode.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like, my heart, like, it was like the Grinch. My heart grew like 12 sizes for them.
I
was
know.
Like, oh my God. Like, it's like wild that one little line could do so much.
And he acts with his whole face in that scene. His eyebrows, like, his ears are doing.
It's so, yeah, it's not him just saying something. Like, he is saying that because it is true.
Yeah.
And like, it just like got to me so much. That's why I said this episode made me emo, because it really wasn't the whole episode. Like, obviously the Derek stuff pissed me off, but like this one like 10 second scene like almost had me in tears. Like, it was so unexpected.
Well, and then you gotta give credit to the writers, because they're like going to walk away. It's super cute. She's like, oh, my hand, ow. And then the Shadow Shepherd's like, hey, Mark, you want to, Dr. Stone, you want to get a drink? And he's like, rain check, John. And he's like, it's Jim. It's Jim. So you go from like this heartfelt moment where you're like pitter-pattering and your eyes are getting ready to cry. And then you're like, fucking Mark Sloan. He's still Mark Sloan, you know?
Yeah, poor Jim. I'll tell you what, though.
Poor Jim.
Feel bad for Shadow Shepherd.
Junior varsity Derek Shepherd. But yeah, I really, that was one of the scenes that I really was like, oh my gosh, that's I don't know. And when Lexi's like, we have a survival rate of 3%. Like, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
You know? It's love. I love love. If Derek doesn't propose to Meredith, Mark's going to propose to Lexi.
Yeah.
One of the two is going to happen before the season five finale. Or on the season five finale.
Yeah, so... Ugh, my heart. That one really got me. Also, Callie in Arizona.
The end scene in the elevator.
Yeah.
Callie's like, I'm gonna play hard to get, but not really.
But I can't commit to the bit.
Yeah. Oh, too funny.
So yeah, Arizona says that she made the wrong judgment call. And she does want to take Callie to dinner, and Callie's like, let me see about my schedule. Like, I'm really busy, and then walks away, and then immediately is like, tomorrow's good. I checked my schedule so fast. Tomorrow's good. I can do tomorrow. Please don't change your mind.
I whipped open my BlackBerry and it says that I'm good.
Yeah. So yeah.
The other thing. So let's talk about Christina and Hunt, and we'll end the episode there. You think, huh? This is a long episode. Holy cow.
Yeah, earlier I said, I don't know if this will be a full 2 hours, and it is going to be 2 hours.
It was two hours plus.
Maybe we'll split it into two pieces again. Hunt at the beginning is asleep in the hallway. Christina's like, goes over and is like, hey, bud. And he's just like, hah! And like smacks her. And so she falls into one of those metal shelves, and it cuts her arm. And so then he like feels very guilty, which like obviously it's his fault, but he wasn't intentional. So like she's trying to like blow it off, like, oh, no big deal. You know, like it's fine. I understand, like it wasn't intentional, but like there's somewhere to be met in the middle between him being like, you have to stay away from me, and her being like, it's literally fine. We'll just ignore it. There's obviously something in the middle because they do need to address it. The end where she says, it's going to take more than a bad dream to scare me away. And he says, it's not just a bad dream, or is more than a bad dream. And she's like, I know. But I think she does know conceptually, but she doesn't know the gravity of what that means in the reality of what PTSD can do to a person.
Right.
So I think she's kind of just living in a world. She's out of her depth, but doesn't really necessarily know it yet, maybe.
Or she just is so love struck that she doesn't care.
Yeah.
Who knows?
This is also like the first real relationship post Burke, so she hasn't really had anything since then. I don't know. You know, it's like weird.
Well, come back we also
after a big relationship.
Yeah, this is if this is her rebound, she is in for a doozy. So,
yeah,
I still when he was sleeping and she was walking up, I knew. I was like, he's gonna fucking lose it. He's gonna lose it right now. Like, this is so predictable. Shonda, you're a rookie. You're a rookie now.
Don't.
Nothing that you can do can surprise me anymore, Shonda. He said, untrue. Knowing that was untrue. Yeah.
He said as a lie.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's I'm rooting for them. I'm happy for them. I want to see them succeed. It's just, I don't know if Hunt's going to be, Hunt's, I don't know how long Hunt's going to be in the show. They're going to write Hunt off for some reason.
Okay.
Going on a bear hunt.
Ratings and predictions. Do you have anything else you want to talk about? Because I think we hit all the major things.
I think that's it. Just good to see George back doing something. And glad to hear about all my incredible predictions, and I'm happy to make some more.
Okay. Okay, so Izzy and Alex, you think Izzy's dying season five finale?
Yes, and Alex will be slowly written off the show because he is so sad. And by slowly, okay. I mean he'll be slowly written off the show over the next 7 seasons. Alex makes it to season 13 is my prediction.
And
but
then
Izzy
leaves?
Dies and then leaves. But Izzy for sure stays. She dies this season. She dies this season for sure.
And stays dead or pulls a Denny and haunts Alex?
Ooh. That never crossed my mind. I hope that she comes back to haunt. No, she doesn't, because she said stuff about the writers. They don't bring her back.
Okay.
Or they bring back Izzy, but they make it another character, and we're also
so they bring back Catherine Heigl, but it's not Izzy. It's like
no.
Here's Izzy's twin. No,
they bring
here's
back
Izzy's
Izzy.
Daughter, also played by Catherine Heigl.
They bring back Susan to play Izzy's demons. I had the hiccups.
Yeah. Weber. Anything with Weber?
No, but he's in my doghouse right now. I have no predictions for Weber. Wait until next episode, because I'm mad at him right now.
What about Bailey and her fellowship situation?
She's going to get in. I think that she will. I don't think she's going to back down. I think she's going to stick with the Peds. She's going to work within that team. Because I think that they've written her character as someone who can still be. Not that we use the term the Nazi anymore, but we have a character that they've written who's so strong-willed and mm-hmm. so disciplined that that's the name. That's the quote-unquote best name that they could think of, even back in the 2000s. They thought that was okay. They have someone who's so strong-willed. I think that that person is going to be so much more dynamic being in a role like that. Mm-hmm. But Bailey, man... If I knew that Private Practice was running as long as Grey's, I would say that they were going to write her into Private Practice. But, yeah, she's going to stick with the Pete's Fellowship. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you don't have anything for Meredith and Derek?
They're going to be together. They're going to fight through it. He's still going to propose the season 5 finale.
Okay.
Is this Shadow Shepherd guy? Do we get more of him, or is this just a one episode bit that they did?
He's in more episodes, but
okay.
He's not like this is, I will say, one of my favorite thing that shows do is like, obviously this is a hospital. There are more than like the 12 doctors that we see, but they never acknowledge it. And so when they bring him in and like, they're like, oh, you must be new here. And he's like, I've worked here for 10 years. Like, yeah. I love it when shows acknowledge that like what they are portraying is like unrealistic.
Yeah, when Mark Sloan, plastics. Yeah, we've met.
Three times.
I've been here longer than you and Derek combined. So
yeah, yeah, I do love that. Yeah. So he's in like a handful of episodes. So.
Okay, good.
It's not like
I want to root for
there.
That guy. I want to see a face off of the two of them.
I think
that's all I got.
Yeah, Lexi and Mark, anything? You just said that you think he'll propose if Derek doesn't propose.
I like them. I like them together.
Oh, what about Derek and Mark? Because first of all, we didn't talk about how everyone is telling Mark to go like talk to Derek. And he's like, I'm not going to go apologize to him. Like, he was wrong. We've all lost patience and he fucking punched me. Like, I don't give a shit. And I'm kind of on Mark's side.
All he did was have a little bit of poor timing on sharing the Lexi news. Like, that didn't deserve a punch.
Or several.
Yeah.
My Do you
prediction,
have anything for them?
They're going to become best friends again. I just don't know what it's going to what's going to happen to make it like okay with them. But I think that, well, I don't know. They really beat the Meredith and Christina storyline to a fucking pulp. So they may milk this one into season 6. I don't fucking know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have any other predictions. Oh, Callie in Arizona.
Oh, they're gonna smush.
Okay.
Yeah, they're cute together. I like them.
Okay. Anything else you just feel the need to declare before we rate it? Don't forget to rate it. We have to rate it.
Oh shit! This episode was. It's a 3.5.
I think it's like a 3.9. Maybe it's a 4. It's a 4. I'm going to say 4.
Again, this is... I was looking at it post-Ahsoka. I think objectively, there are, because we've talked about this for a fucking long time. So it was a good episode.
It elicited a lot of reactions. Yeah. Be them negative or not. It wasn't negative because, like, we are saying the episode was bad. We might not like what the characters are doing, but I think that just speaks to good writing.
Yeah. I think we spent so much time talking about the Izzy thing.
Yeah.
And because there were so many facets of Izzy's storyline here that I enjoyed, but there wasn't, like, drama. There wasn't, like...
Except for those slow-mo paddles, am I right?
The slow-mo paddles. It was just kind of storyline and development of the characters, and then Derek being a dickhead. So yeah. There wasn't, like, a ton that happened. And I disagree with a lot of how Weber was acting in this episode that ruined it for me. But there wasn't drama. There wasn't, like... I guess the dramatic part was when they found the tumor in Trish's stomach, you know. But other than that, it was kind of a low key episode.
I will say this is the first episode in a long time that we've gotten so many new patients. Because for so long we've had like the patients are reoccurring, so we haven't had like this many new patients all at once. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say four because it did elicit a lot of reactions out of me. Again, some of them were negative, but I think that's the point. Like, I'm not supposed to be like, yeah, Derek, that was great what you did there. So, again, obviously, sometimes you just have episodes that are building up and things are left unresolved. It's not like a cliffhanger, but it's kind of a cliffhanger. It's not like a cliffhanger like it was when Seth Green's throat exploded.
Man, loved that.
So, yeah, I think that's it for this one. Sorry this was long.
I'm going to split it. And we're not going to have a mid-roll sponsor. We're going to have just silence. And then maybe I'm going to go back and record something. I'll record an intro. We'll be good. I'll do it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Call this two episodes. Kind. This is a lot. This was a lot of... this was a hearty, chunky Campbell's chicken noodle soup episode here.
Yeah, it really was, really. This is some progresso. What is it? Is it progresso?
It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno.
No, the good soup. Is it progresso?
I like progresso, but I like Campbell's better than progresso.
I don't.
Oh,
I
boy.
Don't.
Oh, boy.
Friendship over.
Civil War.
I watched that the other day.
Did you also watch Chris Evans get married?
He did get married. Yeah. A lot of people's feelings are hurt about it, but he's not going to marry you, so it's probably fine.
He's also not following the half your age plus seven rule, so...
Are you aware of who Taylor Swift is allegedly dating right now? Because...
Me?
It's brought me so much joy. It's Travis Kelce. Oh, my God!
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you know who that is.
He's the guy from the Chiefs, the tight end for the
Chiefs. That's the one that I like because he spells Kelce like I spell Kelce. And his number is 87, which is my birthday. And his brother? Okay, listen to this. His brother... And his brother and his wife.
Wait, so is Travis Kelce the one who plays for the Chiefs?
Travis Kelce plays for the Chiefs and his brother plays for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Jason Kelce is married to Kylie Kelce and they have three kids.
He
and
married one of their his sister?
And one of their kids' name is Bennett.
Oh.
And one of their kids' name is Wyatt and that's our other name.
Whoa.
Isn't that wild? I was like, Michael, they're doing the same thing. Isn't that so crazy? Anyways, crazy. Okay, so unrelated.
I'm not going to get an acknowledgement for my hilarious he married a sister joke.
Not funny.
Okay.
Anyways, okay. Thank you guys for listening to this very long episode, or episodes, plural.
Episodes.
Let us know if you have feelings or thoughts, or if we've, mispronounced something else, because we probably did, or will in the future, because we're not doctors.
Ossipedal!
You can follow us on all the things. You can find our Patreon in the link tree in our Instagram bio. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. I'm just talking to people, strangers over there about Grey's Anatomy all the time. Coming up on 100 episodes for Grey's. Wild. So we're trying to sort out our scheduling because we got to record a shit ton before we go to Florida in a month. Thank you guys so much for your support. Please continue to share us, leave ratings and reviews. And if you see Carmen walking down the street,
just remember, no spoilies. Do not think about it. The show is cranking out that hot, stanky content just like we are. And we will see you all in the next one.